Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and chavruta here, Dana Osband. Our daf of the day, Masachet Bav Metzia, daf Kaf Aleph, page 21. We have here our new second parak, our second chapter of Bav Metzia. It feels like it's been a long time coming, and also that we just started Bav Metzia, so that's a weird time warp. I don't know. The chapter, just as by me. By a few words of introduction, the chapter continues to discuss, you know, lost items or found items, really, right? And the mitzvah of returning those items. So the question is, you know, when you know who the owner is, and we've already been seeing this in the previous dapim, you can figure out often enough who is the right person to be the recipient of the item that you have found. The question is, you know, what happens if you can't find the owner? You can't find the owner, you can't determine who the owner is, and a good amount of that is going to be contingent on, or how, at what point do we say, okay, enough, we just, you know, finders keepers, right? There's a lot of different ways you can handle a lost item that is found by somebody else, right? And the question of when that kicks in is a part of what we're going to see in this chapter. Also, we're going to see again the return of the concept of Yeush, or Yeush, I guess, the despair specifically. It's not necessarily a psychological state, but the despair of being able to reclaim your lost object that you know that you lost. Will you be able to get it back? So, for example, if you drop a $20 bill on Broadway, you know, massive major thoroughfare in the middle of Manhattan, the odds of you getting that $20 bill back are very slim. And the odds are that very quickly you will have yeush, you will give up on getting it back. On the other hand, if you dropped a wallet that has an inscription and your name and your address, you might lose the cash that's in the wallet, but somebody, good Samaritan type, might actually, you know, try to track you down and return your wallet. Certainly in Jerusalem, people give back wallets all the time, even with the money still inside. That's still not the same thing as just dropping the actual, like the bill of the money or the coins on the street. Those, everybody's going to give up on that, unless it's a very odd number of bills or coins or something like that. The odds are that people are going to say, nah, we're never getting that back.
Well, and that, well, difference between the two objects is that when it's in a wallet, the halakhic language would be it has a siman. Like there's a way for the owner to identify it. So you would be able to say it's $20 in this wallet that looks like this. Where it's just right. Losing $20 is just losing $20. And there's no way to identify that it's your $20.
And then once the person who has lost the item, money or even something that does have some identifiable characterization, but still enough time has passed or the circumstances under which it was lost, right? Dana, you once gave the example of when you leave something on a plane. The odds on getting something back that was left on a plane are not high. So, right. So then once the original owner kind of gives up on the possibility, that is part of what enables the finder to take possession of the item for themselves. So we're going to see how complicated it gets, and we're not going to see it immediately, right? This is the coming attractions for chapter two. Here's the Mishnah on Amud Aleph. Elu mitziyot shelo ve'elu Chayav Lachriz, right? The question is, when you discover these lost items, which of them automatically become the owner, like the finders, and which one do you have to like go proclaim Lachriz to declare, you know, I have found this. Anybody who's missing it should come forward and tell me. And I feel like this kind of thing happens in a neighborhood all the time, or you might see it on a bus stop, right? That they found a book or something, right? Something that, again, can be identified. You know, come tell me, describe it for me, and I will give it back to you if you have the right description. So the question is, when do you have to do that? And when do you not have to do that? And you could just, as I said, finders keepers. So these are the things that belong to the finder when he finds them. Matzape wrote Mefuzarim. You find scattered fruits, meaning produce. It's like, you know, scattered on the ground. Let's pick the bus stop, right? People are not, they're gone. They're not coming back for it. Ma'ot mefuzarot, or coins that are scattered. Kriyot b'rashut rabim, bundles of grain, right? That are like just in a public place. We've talked about these before. They're like date, pressed cakes of dates. Kikarot shel nachtom, loaves that are from a bakery, or a baker's loaves, right? Machruzot shel dagim, likewise, strings of fish. Machatichot shel basar, meat, cuts of meat. Vegizei tzemer, halukuchin memidinatan. So let's say you have here, it's gizei tzemer is wool fleeces that were taken from where they originally came from, meaning immediately after the shearing of the sheep. There, anitzei pishtan, likewise, stalks of flax, lishonot shel argaman, or the strips of when you've combed out the purple wool, it's been dyed with argaman, with the purple dye. Hare elu shelo divi Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir's list is quite long. I would suggest, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that if we were to make a list of what would be automatically go to the finder, today we would have a different list. I think that if somebody lost bound strips of purple wool at the bus stop nowadays, I think we would say, well, that's unusual enough that someone else would say, I think you should like hang up a sign that you found this and someone will come looking for them. As opposed to, yeah, sure, if you a bag of apples or lemons or something like that, probably not. So I do think that there's a little bit of societal impact on what this list entails. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol sheyesh bo shinui chayav lachriz. Rabbi Yehuda says, anything that you find in which it has some kind of alteration, some kind of difference, right? So if your apples were cut in the shape of letters and now they spell out somebody's name, it doesn't matter that it's fruit, that it's produce, and it's left at the bus stop. The assumption is that someone can identify it as theirs. I think this is exactly what you said, Yerdana, that because there was a change in it, then they can say, I made that change. What kind of example? Ketzad, matza igul uvtochol cheres. If you found that round cake of the pressed figs, did I say dates before? Figs, dates, whatever, it's figs, I think. Then, and it was in a ceramic dish, right? Kikar uvtochol ma'ot. And likewise, then inside of it, you find coins, right? So this is, on the one hand, the same kind of thing that anybody could identify, could be, it's generic. Anybody could have lost it, except for that, not this way, not when it's already in a ceramic, it's got something ceramic in it, or it's a loaf of bread that has coins hidden inside of it, right? Then you have to go out and proclaim, declare, yes, I found something. I found a loaf of bread at the bus stop. You know that there's coins in there. If somebody comes forward and says, yes, yes, I put my coins in my loaf of bread, then you're going to have to give it back. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, kol clay, anfuria, aven. No, I'm sorry. This is my text deceiving my eyes. Kol clay, anfuria, ein chayav lachris. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, the moment you have an anfuria, what's anfuria? Anfuria is a certain kind of vessel, right? And they were uniformly that way, that particular shape. Then you can't distinguish between this anfuria and that anfuria. It's like if everybody got it from IKEA, right? Then everybody knows that that's the IKEA vase or the IKEA mug or whatever it is. And too many people shop there to be able to say that's identifiable. So the list here, I think, is important. I want to point out also that the Gemara is going to pick up on this, and Rav Yirmi in particular, as you go through the Gemara here, you'll see, has four different questions on these, on Rabbi Meir's list. And he, at the end of the day, and I'm not going through it now inside, but if you read through it, you'll see the questions are good questions. They're dilemmas over each case. You could come up with different answers. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like throwing up his hands. He says, Teku, right? Teku, meaning we don't have an easy answer here. We'll have to wait for Eliyahu to come and resolve the question. And with that, Yerdana, over to you.
I just love the Teku here because it's like he has four very detailed questions. And I think maybe the point is to say, like, yes, Rabbi Yitzchak, you have this opinion, but it's difficult. It's a difficult opinion because it kind of doesn't follow through in all of these cases. But it's not sort of like, it's not a full rejection of the opinion. I'm going to actually just pick up from right after the Teiku. And one of the things that we, you know, we talked about is that you can keep a lost object if there's yeish. But when there isn't yeish of the owner, then you actually have an obligation to sort of what the Mishnah describes as announcing the object, but like to try to make sure that you could find the owner, that the owner knows that you found it. So the Gemara now wants to talk about a case where the object, right, is one that the owner would normally have yeish over, right? Like the owner lost it would have yeish, but it's found before the owner knows that it is actually lost, okay? So Itmar, it was stated, yeish shalom idat, right? Abandonment without the owner's awareness. So in other words, this is talking about a situation where an object, right? So let's say $20 is lost by an owner. We would say normally that's something you would have yeish over, but he didn't know that he lost it yet. So Abaye and Rabba have the following machlokas over this. Abaye says, lo habe yeish. Abaye says it can't be yeish because the owner doesn't actually have to spare. He doesn't know that he lost it yet. But Rabba, right? Rabba says habe yeish. It's still considered to be yeish, right? Even though the owner doesn't know about the loss yet, we still consider it as if he has yeish because it's not something he would ever have hope of recovering, okay? And therefore, the finder actually can keep it. Now, the Gemara is going to further explain this, okay? And it starts by giving us a case where both of them agree, right, that yeish is not in effect. B'davar sheyesh bo siman. If you have an object that has this identifying mark on it, right? In other words, we said an object that has a siman doesn't really have yeish because the owner knows that this object is very, it's identifiable. So hopefully somebody would find it and then say, I found this object. Kulei amalo plike. There's no argument. Delo have a yeish. Because unless, right, it can't be considered yeish, right? Unless the person, you know, made it hefker, right? Said like it's ownerless, but it can't be something that actually has yeish on it. Va'afa gab dishma'ine demiayesh lasov. And even though we later hear that in the end, right after the object was found, the owner discovered his loss and had yeish, lo have a yeish. It's still not considered to be yeish because the finder has to return this object to the owner, even if he has yeish, because it has the siman on it. Dechi ataliyadeh, because when it came into the finder's hand, be'isurahu de'ataliyadeh, it was in a prohibited state when it came into his hand, right? He wasn't really allowed to keep it. Why? Delichi yada denafal mine. For when the owner becomes aware that it's fallen from him, loma ayesh. He doesn't ordinarily have yeish. Meimar amar, because he says to himself, simana isle begave. I have a mark that can identify it. Yahavna simana. And I'll give evidence of that identifying mark. Vishkalina le. And then I'll take it back from the finder. So even if, like, let's say 6 months pass, right? And the owner says somebody loses their wallet and 6 months pass and they're like, all right, I'm never getting this wallet back. We sort of don't count it ever that it's real yeish because if the wallet was somehow found, right, the wallet has to be given back because it has a siman, it's identifiable. So that's the case for both Abaye and Rava would agree, right, that of course there can't be any yeish. Now the Gemara is going to be a case in which both Abaye and Rava say that even a lost object belongs to the finder, even if the original owner didn't actually have yeish for it yet. Bizuto shelyam, if an object was swept away by the tides of sea, ubishlulato shelnahor, or by the surge of a river, right? And then let's say later it's like washed up on the shore. Avagab de isbe siman, even if it has an identifying mark, rachmana sharaye, right? The Torah permits the finder to keep it. As we will explain to Lo. Even in that case, Abaye would say, right, that even if there's a siman, right, there's still yeish, right? And this kind of makes sense because when something's like swept out at sea, right, you always, I don't know, you always hear those like crazy stories where like somebody threw a bottle in the ocean and then like somebody finds it on some shore and they, you know, eventually contact the person who wrote the note in the bottle. But generally, if you lose something in the ocean, our assumption is you're not going to get it back, even if it has a siman. Keep leaking. So where they disagree is the finder ain bo siman, right? They disagree about an object that doesn't have a siman. Abaye amar, Abaye says lo habe yeish, right? it can't be considered yeish dehalo yadat nafomine, because the owner doesn't know that he lost it. So in other words, even if it doesn't have a siman, what makes yeish or not yeish is the owner knowing that he lost the object. Rava Amar, Rava says, have yeish, right? In a case, it is a case of yeish, delechi yada denafamine, because when he does become aware that it has fallen from him, miyayesh, he will abandon hope of recovering it because it doesn't have a siman on it. Meimar Amar, he will say to himself, simana leisla bigabe, I have no mark to identify it. Mehashtahu de miyayesh, and therefore, I will have lost hope from getting it from the moment that he discovers a loss. So it doesn't have to do with whether or not he's aware yet that he lost it, because inevitably when he is aware, there's going to be yeyush. So very interesting way to think about yeyush and the interplay between yeyush and a siman, right? It's kind of like, what is more important, having yeyush or having the siman, being aware that you lost the object, you know, having something that's identifiable. And I think what we see from this machlokas is that for Abaye, it's the issue of the siman is sort of what trumps it. Will it be something that is later identifiable or not? And according to Rava, it's the owner's, it's whether or not the owner is aware that the object is actually lost. So I guess a more meta way of saying it is it the object that's important or the owner now being dissociated from the object itself? Or understanding that he's dissociated from the object itself. So from here, the Gemara is going to give a mnemonic for a whole bunch of proofs. It's a very long mnemonic, right? If you look at it, Siman Pei Mem Gimel Shin, Mem Mem Kuf Nun, Mem Mem Kuf Gimel Taf Yud, Chav Chav Tzadi Ayin Zayin. And all of these proofs are going to come to give different proofs with Rava or Abaye. To sort of prove whose view is actually correct. And this is going to go on actually until the next daf. So make sure to pay attention to all of these proofs. It's a very, very interesting. And this, I would also say, this is like a fundamental machlokas between Abaye and Rava.
Yeah, I think that we have here some fun, like it's a fundamental difference of looking at the question to begin with. And it doesn't surprise me that we would have classic Amorayim who fall down on each side, right? I think that if we sat down at the Shabbat table and asked people, so what do you think? We would end up also getting people to kind of come on each side.
Exactly. So just pay attention to all those proofs. And it's interesting how many proofs they can bring for both sides. Well, that's our DAP discussion for the day. Rinkus, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this DAP and our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.